How y'all doing this morning? Good, good. It's a beautiful day out there, a little rainy, but it's making things green again. That's always awesome. So, my name is Kelvin Nygren. It's good to be here this morning, a friend of Pastor Brent for a long time. We've ridden our bikes together. He rescued me. I think I said this last time I was here. About 2 years ago, we were on a ride. I went over my handlebars and separated my shoulder, and Pastor Brent was the one who brought me home in my injured state. So, we're good friends and glad to be a part of this morning. And I just want to talk this morning about broken stuff, broken stuff. Now, a few months ago, I was in the church building at the mission, and I was there with the pastor of the mission. His name is DJ. And we kind of went into this closet, and there was a bunch of like instruments and, you know, amplifier equipment and all that kind of stuff. And this thing, and one of the things that was in there was this old, beat up, neglected guitar. And I start looking at it, and I'm like, you know, it needs some work, but it's a Yamaha. That's a good brand name guitar. And I looked at the body, and it was solid. There were no cracks in the body. It was missing several parts. It had no strings on it. It had been sitting around for years, literally years, and it was all dust covered, and the fretboard was really dirty. And so I said, hey, DJ, would you mind if I think this thing could be a player. You mind if I take it home and I work on it and see if I can get it playing again? And he said, you really want to do that? And I said, yeah, I think it'd be a fun project. So I took it home, and it needed new tuners. It needed a new nut on the guitar. There was just a lot of missing parts and needed some new strings. And so I cleaned it all up, and I cleaned off the frets on it were all rusted out. And I got it all cleaned up. I got it all tuned up. And it actually played. And so, yeah, it was kind of cool to have fun with that and take something that was neglected and abused and broken and turn it into something that can make beautiful music with the right person playing it, not me. So that's why the background on my slides this morning has a guitar on it. I just also recently found another guitar, and I'm not a guitar repair guy, but I found another guitar at the Goodwill store, and it was an electric guitar, and it was missing a few parts. And when I got it home, I realized the neck was broken. It was just a little hairline crack in it. So I glued the neck back together, and it's nice and solid. And so I knew that was good. So I went out and I bought the parts that I needed, and I repaired a second guitar. And taking these things that are broken and turning them into something that can make beautiful music, it was kind of fun. And I think God looks at you and me just like that. We're all broken. How many of you know? You're broken, right? Everybody in this room, no matter how long you've been serving God, there's some area in your life that's not quite right. Some of you may be a full-blown mess, but I want you to know God looks at you and he sees potential and he sees something beautiful that he wants to make your life into. Now, I mentioned this AC separation on my shoulder a little bit ago, and that's a separation of the collarbone from the shoulder bone, and it's only connected by tendons and ligaments. And so when I went through this, I had to go to PT, and I've had some pain in my life, but that was the most painful thing I ever experienced. The first month and a half was very, very painful. And going to PT, my therapist, her name was Shannon, said, what is your goal? What's your goal for PT? And that was a great question, because she made me think about where I wanted to get to. And I told her, I want to get back to normal. I want to get back to riding my bike. I want to get back to playing golf. I want to get back to doing all the things that I was doing before. And she said, we can do that. And I wasn't sure, to be honest with you, I wasn't sure that we could do that. I didn't, it was close to having, the tear was close enough to having to have surgery, but not quite. And I was like, okay, I'm not sure, but I'm going to do the work. And so I started doing the work, and I kept working on it. And 6 months later, I was back on my bike, riding my bike again. So I thank God for that. And I thank God that therapist asked me the right question at the right time to give me hope. We'll get you back. And I think that's exactly what God wants to say to us this morning. I can fix you. I can fix you. We're all broken. Sometimes our minds are broken. Sometimes we have broken hearts or broken families. We're broken by addictions or abuse or neglect. Sometimes we're broken by our own dumb, stupid decisions that we make. But the good news is that we don't have to stay broken. If you've got your Bibles with you this morning, if you don't, it'll be on the screen as well. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 13 is where we're going to look at today and see what Peter had to say to the church of his day. He says, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope," that's a key word right there, "set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming." So we know we have a hope that someday we're going to be with Jesus, right? And then he goes on in verse 14, "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance," back when you were making stupid decisions because you didn't know any better, right? "But just as he who is evil desires you, As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you have when you once lived in ignorance. But just as he who has called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" And that's God speaking in that phrase. Verse 17, "Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time." My screen keeps changing on me here. I'm going to go back to it. "Live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed." And here's the word that's fixed, right? That's coming from broken to fixed. "You are redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God." There's hope. That word was in there several times. He wants to change us. So I want to look at three things this morning. Number one, God wants to redeem us from our old way of life. Look at this. "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you have when you once lived in ignorance, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from your empty way of life." Whoever's lived here has lived an empty way of life. You thought you were going to have fun. You thought you were going to party. You thought you might do drugs. Whatever that thing that the world has to offer, we go after it because we think it might find some kind of satisfaction in it. And then we find out it doesn't bring us satisfaction because that's not what we're made for. He says that empty way of life. Anybody here ever made a bad choice? Anybody made a bad choice? I make them on a regular basis still. I remember this. You remember the story in the Old Testament of Samson and Delilah, right? Samson was called by God from the time he was a little boy, before he was even born, to be a Nazarite. He had this Nazarite vow, and there were several parts to that vow, the last one being that he was not to ever cut his hair. So I'm going to shorten the story. We know that he broke two of those vows prior to this, and then he was cavorting with prostitutes and women who were idol worshipers, and one of them was by the name of Delilah, right? And the enemies try to find out what is the secret of his strength, and he won't tell them. And he has all these interactions with them and these battles with them, and he keeps winning these battles. And then Delilah finally says, she comes to him and says, "Don't you love me? You'll tell me what the secret of your strength is." And he lies to her a couple of times, but in the end, he tells her exactly what his strength is. It's in his hair, in this Nazarite vow. And so he falls asleep. She calls in some of her co-conspirators. They cut his hair off, and his strength is gone. And what happens to him? They pretty much enslave him. They put him on a millstone where he's grinding grain like an ox, and this big mess that he had because he saw what the world had to offer, and not just one mistake, but another one and another one and another one and another one. Sometimes one mistake or one bad choice doesn't have a lot of consequences, but I guarantee you, you keep making mistake after mistake after mistake, one act of disobedience after another, and you will pay the price. Your life will be broken. It's true of all of us. We've made bad choices based on our own sinful desires, our decisions that are made on the basis of the world's opinion and the world's point of view, and then we find ourselves imprisoned by our habits, our choices, addictions, broken relationships, and on and on. So how do we get redeemed from this empty way of life? There's three things I want to look at in this first point. Number one, admit your brokenness. Admit you're broken. You can't get better until you admit you're broken. And another way to say that is to confess your sin. Got to confess our sin. And that doesn't stop just the first time we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins, but that's an ongoing thing day by day with our lives. In fact, James 5 says this, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed." You may be fixed. You won't be broken anymore. You may be healed. We can't start the healing from our brokenness without admitting our brokenness. So I don't know where it is in your life. There's an area where it just seems like you maybe continue to fail over and over and over again. Don't struggle with that alone. Confess your sins, he says, to one another. You need me and I need you. Iron sharpens iron, right? The Bible talks about how our relationships, we help our brothers and sisters in the Lord to grow because we are talking to one another, we're encouraging one another, we're praying for one another so that we don't continue in that continual process of brokenness, but we go from brokenness to health and wholeness. And we do it together by being honest with one another. So, and that's the second part of this, ask for help. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow. My son, a few years ago, when he was probably junior high, his name is Jordan, when he was in junior high, he had a really bad ingrown toenail that he wouldn't tell us about. We didn't know it. We didn't know what was going on with it. And then one day he took his shoe off and his big toe is like all exploded and big and stuff is running out of it. And it was like, okay, are we going to have to amputate this toe? This is pretty bad. So we finally saw it. And then we were like, okay, now we can do something about it now that we know about it. But he had kind of hidden that because he was embarrassed about it. And I think that's kind of like we are with our sins. We're embarrassed of our sins. But when we get it into the light and we let somebody else know about it, and then we get somebody who has the expertise to fix it, it can be healed. And that's what God wants to do for us. So admit your sins, ask for help. And the third thing is advance. Don't give up. Keep moving forward. Don't go backwards. In 2 Timothy 4:7, this is Paul at the end of his life. He's saying, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith to the very end. You may fall back to your old ways, your empty way of life. We're pretty much guaranteed to make new mistakes, but don't give up. Don't give up. Find others to help you. We need each other to help and encourage and rebuke and teach us and to help us overcome and become winners in life together. Can I get an amen on that? All right. So we're redeemed from the old way of life, but we're redeemed to something better. We're redeemed to a new way of life. He doesn't just say, stop doing all that stuff you thought was going to bring you happiness and fun and fulfillment, but I have something even better for you. In 1 Peter 1:13, he says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, minds that are working the right way and thinking the right thoughts, right? And minds that are fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you have when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. I love that word, alert. And then another word that's really important in there is the word hope. Alert and sober. Be serious about your life. Be serious about your life. Think about it in a logical way, in a spiritual way. When you are making decisions, as you are moving forward in your life, in those transitional areas in your life, young men up here on the front row, when you're looking for that wife, find one who loves God with all of her heart, mind, soul, and strength. When you're making decisions, make good, sober decisions. That's what God wants for you. And then we have this thought that is in there. So think soberly, think like Jesus thinks. The only way to begin to do that is to immerse your mind and your life and your spirit in the Word of God. Can I get an amen on that? Be a disciple. Understand what God wants in your life. And then there's this hope factor in there. He says it several times. The reason you want to do that is because there's a day when Jesus is coming back. And he's going to take us back to be with him in heaven. Amen? And he says there's that hope that you have within you. That hope, there's a guy named Ty Schinzel started a ministry in Omaha probably 20, 30 years ago called the Hope Center. And he was working with kids on the street. And one of his phrases that he would use is, without hope, there is no restraint. Think about that statement. If you have no hope, it doesn't matter what your decisions are, right? So I'm going to go out and I'm going to do drugs and I'm going to go out and I'm going to be a gangbanger. These were the kids he was working with. And he said, without hope, there's no restraint. And so his whole goal was to give these kids hope and see there is a better way of life for them. And when we keep that hope of what Jesus has in store for us in our mind all the time, that gives us a goal to work for, and that gives us the restraint we need to live lives that are pleasing to him. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our minds are broken and they need to be fixed. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Somebody said, never make an important decision when you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. That's pretty good advice. And all those kind of things can cloud your brain and make you not sober. I'll just put it that way. You're not going to make good decisions when you're in that state. And that's, again, why we need one another. You say, hey, I'm really struggling here. I'm depressed. I'm angry. There's stuff in my life that it just isn't right. I'm feeling lonely. And we need one another to help each other think in a sober manner that will bring honor to God. Making good decisions is kind of like planting seeds into your future, good seed into your future, right? You put seed in the ground, and there's this cornfield right over here. You can expect that somewhere in October or so that you're going to have a harvest of corn, right? And the same thing is true in our lives. When we start making good decisions, we're putting good things into our future, and your life will get better and better and better as you continue to serve God your whole life. Your circumstances might change from time to time, but your ability to handle tough circumstances is probably going to get better. It's likewise, when you sow bad decisions into your future, you're going to reap the consequences of bad decisions. So God wants us to live sober so that our lives become more and more abundant. Jesus said that, didn't he? He says, I came to give you life and to give you life abundantly. And that's what God has in store for you. That's the hope for this life, and then we have hope for the future life with Jesus as well. So make good decisions. So how do we renew our minds? We do that in God's Word. Knowing God's Word, studying God's Word, being a good disciple. It's a process that never ends because we're always a little bit broken. We're not perfect. And there will always be some kind of brokenness in our life. So we always need to keep drilling into the Word of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to change our minds. So let's look at verse 18 of 1 Peter chapter 1. For you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you are redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ. I would submit to you this morning, you can't get really fixed without Jesus in your life. You may be able to go to a psychologist. You may be able to go to a life coach. They can help you in some ways in your life, but they really can't fix your spiritual brokenness. Jesus is the only one who can do that. It starts with a relationship with Jesus. It's the only way you can become truly whole and truly fulfilled and truly transformed. Being redeemed from the old way of life and redeemed to a new life is only possible because of what Jesus did on the cross. I hope that you're here this morning. Most of you are probably believers. You've accepted Christ as your Savior. But if there's somebody here this morning, I want you to know you will never be fully all that God wants you to be till you make that decision to follow Christ. And it's pretty simple. We ask Him to forgive us of our sins. We admit our sins, and we ask for His forgiveness. And then the healing starts. So we're redeemed from our old way of life, redeemed to a new life here in this time, and redeemed for eternal life. Can you get an amen on that one? Yes. He says in chapter 1, verse 3, we're going backwards here. He says, praise be to God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. That's pretty cool. We have an inheritance in heaven waiting for us. Now, when my mom passed away after my dad, when we went through the whole estate, I think we got 5 kids and each of us got $200. That's all that was left. My parents didn't have a lot of inheritance to pass down to us. But you know what they did? The inheritance they gave us is they served God with their whole heart all of their life. My dad, as he was passing away, that verse that we read before, he said, I finished the race. And he said to me, one of his last words he ever said to me was, Kelvin, finish the race. I had an incredible inheritance in my mom and my dad because they raised me in a way that I knew I had hope. And they encouraged me to finish the race. I love the book of Revelation. Sometimes people think Revelation is scary, and it is kind of scary. But I would say it was written to John to encourage him. I mean, it was given to John by the Holy Spirit to encourage him and written for us to encourage us. And I love the end. There's all the scary stuff in the first parts and the bowls of wrath and all that kind of stuff. But it ends in the last couple chapters in a pretty powerful way. And in Revelation 21, I want to read this. This is what's in store for us, guys. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Get the picture, it's going to be a party. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from your eyes. There will be no more death, are no more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Yeah, that's what God has in store for us. That's the hope we have. That's why we live our lives sober-minded and in obedience to God, being holy because He is holy, and He wants that for us, not just to impose a bunch of rules on us, because He knows if we stay faithfully to the end of time, we're going to spend an eternity with Him, and that's what we have in store for us. God wants to take our brokenness and turn us into something beautiful for His glory and honor. I want to end with a video. One of the things that I do at the People City Mission is I tell stories, and it's in a way of recording people's stories on video. And we're going to share a story with you here right now. A young lady named Emerald, and her life was a mess before she found Jesus, and this is her story.
Hi, my name is Emerald Burr, and I am the store manager for the People City Mission Help Center. And I just had kind of a troubled upbringing. It separated me a lot from my family, and I ended up using drugs as I grew up. By the time I was 19 years old, I was addicted to marijuana, alcohol, and methamphetamine. I had my first child by the time I was 20. With my first child's dad, while I was pregnant with my second baby, he nearly killed me while I was pregnant with our baby, and it caused CPS and stuff to get involved in my life. They took away my children, and I just kind of lost myself. I really, really dug into the drugs then. I felt like my entire purpose of life had been taken from me. And I just didn't know who to turn to. I went into this deep hole of just drug use, became homeless, lost everything I've owned, obviously my children. I lost who I was. Just a few years ago, I had my fourth child in 2020. When I was in labor, actually, I was arrested. From then, I kind of had an awakening that I was gonna lose my life. I was already losing my children and everybody I loved. And I was gonna either kill myself or die to the struggles that I was going through. So I finally made the choice to go get help. I entered into a 6-month treatment program for mothers and children. It gave me the right people in my life that believed in me to actually get clean and be a mom. After 3 years, I finally was sentenced with the distribution charge that I had gained, and I went to prison for 3 to 5 years. Where they placed me at for light duty, where I continued to do paperwork and just kind of show up and show out, I guess. I'm a very hard, dedicated worker, and so when I went there, I really did what I was told, and I really impressed the people there at People City Mission. And later, after my surgery and the workman's comp was over, they offered me a position. I was going to actually be released from prison on parole. I moved up here. I got an apartment, things like that after I was released. I have gained a lot of trust and insight and mentorship from a lot of the people that I work with. They give me a lot of advice, and they help me learn about myself and the things that I can do, things that I never thought I would be able to do. They believed in me and gave me hope. Now I am the store manager of the People City Mission Help Center, where I get to continue to give back to the community, help people that were in the same position as I am. My life has completely turned around just within the last 2 years that I have been here. I have moved. I went from an apartment to now a house. I have two vehicles, a brand new car. I am a mother to two beautiful children. They are in my life because of the work that I did and because of the people that gave me hope and put God back into my life. I give him thanks to everything that I have in my life today. Things have happened for me that I can't even explain. I feel like things that I don't even deserve. But he's made it happen for me. And I can't wait to see where my life is gonna go.
I can't wait to see where our lives are gonna go. God's got some great things planned for you. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. Thank you for changed lives like mine and Emerald's and a host of other people in this room. I just thank you, Lord, that you put us on the right path. Help us to remain faithful. Lord, if there's somebody that's here this morning that's broken in some way and they're feeling the sting of their sin and their decisions, let their minds be awakened this morning. Let them turn to you, Father, and find your grace, your forgiveness, your life-changing power, and hope for their life. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name.